This podcast was produced on the lands of the Kabi Kabi people. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging and thank them for how they have lovingly cared for and preserved the land, natural resources, and bush medicine in which we are inspired by today. Welcome to the Students of Natural Health podcast. My name is Dana Laura. I'm a student naturopath from Australia, and I'm going to be your host for this episode. Now, joining me today, I've got two incredible guests. They're the duo, the magic pair behind Inner Bloom Dispensary. I need to welcome you, Adam and Sadia. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, guys. Hi. So glad to be here. This is our first podcast.
For your very first podcast, is it?
Very first podcast, but super excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so honored. We were just having a fantastic conversation about how it's so cool to be able to network, and it's so important to be able to see and meet new people and what they're doing in the space of natural medicine and natural health. And you guys are part of the naturopathy space. For our listeners who may be hearing about you guys from Inner Bloom Dispensary for the first time, can you please explain what you guys do?
Yeah, sure. So Inner Bloom Dispensary is an online dispensary service. We basically fill prescriptions for naturopathic practitioners and nutritionists, and we post to their direct to their patients the very same day. And we also offer local pickup. So essentially, we're a service where naturopaths and nutritionists can outsource their entire dispensary service to us.
That's so clever. So clever. And it's quite a unique part of the naturopathy space. Like, typically people go down one-on-one consult routes or, you know, something along those lines. But first, I want to acknowledge the fact that this is also a unique opportunity to be able to interview, you know, both owners of a business. And it's our first time we've got two people on the podcast that I get to talk to at the same time. Can you tell me a little bit about your study backgrounds?
Yeah, so when I left high school, initially, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. So off I trotted to law school. And I was there for, you know, about 6 years until I realized, got to the end of my degree. I was working in the government at the time. And I was just always stressed and burnt out. And I really didn't wake up feeling this spark or passion for what I was doing and, you know, where I was going every day. So I do have a fair bit of sort of like legal study and government study experience and background. But after I left the legal fields, that's when I sort of really started to pursue natural medicine and health, holistic health. So I would have sort of started my naturopathy degree when I was 24, back in Sydney at the time. That's where I was living. Started at Endeavour, and 6 years later, I became a qualified naturopath. It was a drastic change for me going from law to naturopathy. And a lot of people say, like, how did you sort of make that change? And they're so polar opposite.
Yeah.
Honestly, a lot of the skills and knowledge I learned in that first part of my study sort of career really were quite invaluable for a lot of things, especially business. So none of it went to waste. And it's like anything, you take a little bit of bits and pieces from all the skills and experience you've had in your life, and you integrate them at some point later on anyway. So, that's a bit of my background. And I only graduated from Endeavour in 2024. So I haven't pursued any further study since. As you can imagine, that's just 12 years of study, and I need a break.
Yeah, far out. That's crazy. So, Adam, what's your study background?
Yeah, so I guess similar to Sadia, I had started a law degree. I ended up finishing it and just didn't feel like it was for me in the end. So I ended up working in Canberra in the public service for about 10 years. I did intelligence over there, basically just sitting behind a computer doing analytical work. Outside of that, just had different businesses. I did had a cosmetic tattooing business for a while, which I sold a few years ago.
Oh, cool.
And then, moved up here just after COVID to the beautiful Gold Coast. And yeah, I was just taking a bit of a pause in things and just trying to reassess. And that's when I met Sadia, and we kind of linked up in terms of a relationship, but then also just a business kind of organically grew from there and turned into Inner Bloom Dispensary, funnily enough.
I love that. I was going to ask, how did that happen? How did you guys meet along the way? So like, it was accidental through dating kind of thing, and then the business partner came later.
Yeah, definitely. We started dating, just after COVID. We both had just moved up to the Gold Coast. So myself from Canberra, Sadia came up from Sydney, and then yeah, we just met on the Gold Coast, hit it off like instantly. And then I ended up going overseas for about 7 months just for some travel.
Yeah, Adam actually had this solo like 7 month trip planned overseas, but he didn't really have a return date when we first met and started to date. And so
Wow.
we both said to each other that we would sort of let each other go. And if we're meant to reconnect again in the future, we will. So Adam went off for his solo trip and I stayed here on little old Gold Coast, sort of just, potting away in my life here, waiting for Adam to come back. And then, yeah, we sort of got to reconnect again in Bali later that year. And that's when the relationship sort of began, I guess, officially.
Yeah, I mean, we knew from the very start there was something special there, but because I had the trip planned, we only got to spend about, I think, like 6 to 8 weeks before I had to leave. But in those 6 to 8 weeks, like, it was pretty much set in stone. So when we re-met up in Bali, about 7 months later, that's what officialized things. And then we came back to the Gold Coast, just started chatting. We're both at a point in our life. She had just finished studying. I was kind of in that transition period, trying to figure out what to do next. And it just really just happened organically, where, this business started off as, I guess, just a little dispensary, and just kind of grew up from there.
Because he started to ask me, what do you want to do now that the end of uni is here? What's your thoughts on where to for you next? And obviously, I didn't really think outside the box too much then. I just sort of went into that traditional way of, I'm just going to be a one-on-one clinician because that's just all we see and what we're sort of conditioned to. And after clinic, you just sort of think, well, I'll just keep going with the clinical practice. I always wanted to have a little dispensary of my own anyway for my immediate clients. And so we thought, okay, sure, let's just start off with like a little dispensary and we'll see how we go. Conversation sort of continued. And like Adam said, it was very, very organic where we just started to discuss the potential of having an actual dispensary business. I actually had work experience as a student doing a bit of interning and paid work for a large dispensary company, which exposed me to that many years ago. So I actually had insight to what it was, how it sort of ran. And that was really great practical hands-on experience, I think, in my second year of the degree. So I was quite far from clinical practice at that point, or even being a student clinic, but it gave me an opportunity to start physically like connecting with herbs, dispensing, seeing what that process was like. I think that's really important and something that is not availed to students early on enough in the degree,
For
just in
sure.
my personal experience. I think it's quite difficult to, get paid work and internships in this space because of the nature of naturopathy clinics being private. So unless you are a qualified naturopath or really in your final semester, it's really hard to get a look in for paid work. Fast forward 5, 6 years, and here we are sitting in our own dispensary. And I think back to the days that I was sort of packing boxes and wondering, like, these are going to all these practitioners' patients. And it's just one of those little, like, 360 moments.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
So, yeah, I guess that's how the dispensary evolved. Like, there's really no answer. It was just so organic, I guess.
Yeah. It's so great to hear as well, because like you were saying, there seems to be this little stereotypical picture of what you have to do once you finish your degree. It's go into clinical practice and one-on-one consults. It's really interesting and great to hear about the other options that are available and from people that are doing it. Did you seek any sort of mentorship within the space, or just relied on your prior knowledge of having worked in a similar sort of situation during your degree?
Yeah, I think we both brought something different to the table. So with my, I guess, business background, my more analytical thinking, and Sadia is very empathetic and very much a people person, we kind of just are a bit of a yin and a yang. And so we were able to, I focus more on the systems, the business side of things, and that really allowed Sadia to kind of focus on building up the networks, the relationships, building her own consultancy practice as well, of course, on the side. So it's really much a collaboration between us. And I mean, to this day, she focuses on the dispensing, which allows me to, yeah, really focus on a lot of the back end stuff, the website, all the inventory management. I do a lot of the social media as well, funnily enough, just because a lot of the time she doesn't really have capacity, for those kind of things. But we just kind of also fill in where we need to. And that's the beauty of having this, I guess, partnership. We can step in where needed. But also we bring different things to the table that really complement each other. So in terms of mentoring, we didn't get a mentor as such. I'm very much the kind who likes to learn as I go or as we go, and I encourage that with Sadia. And whenever we did have questions, we would try and figure things out ourselves, do research online. So this whole business, I guess, has been bootstrapped. We did everything ourselves, and I think that's the best way to do things as well. That's how you really learn and understand things at the core. I know there's a lot of mentors out there, and especially paid mentors. Look, I have particular views on this. I think mentorship is great when you can align yourself with somebody perhaps organically and where there isn't a financial incentive for them. And it doesn't have to be necessarily in the field of naturopathy. It might be a business mentor or a life mentor. But again, I think whenever money's involved in some kind of mentorship or coaching, in my view, I feel like it taints things a little bit. There's always a degree of bias. And there's so much information out there, on the Facebook groups, on ChatGPT, just on internet, where you can literally learn anything. And by doing that, you will actually, come across problems and challenges that you need to overcome. And this is all just gonna be for your own benefit at the end of the day. So that's the kind of approach I've taken to, I guess, my businesses in the past and definitely this business. And this is what I've encouraged Sadia to do as well. So yeah, we haven't taken on mentorship as such, but we definitely draw on inspiration from different people. We try and solve problems ourselves. We talk a lot together as well to brainstorm because I don't know what I don't know. And likewise, same for Sadia, but having two people in this team very much in complementary spaces is also a huge, huge benefit for us.
It sounds so healthy as well, because you're true grassroots. You're truly learning how to, like you said, you're bootstrapping your way through. I can see the full circle and the ties as well to what Sadia was saying from her past, like burnout as well. And being able to share that load and share all of those hats that are required that you need to wear when you're in business, like it's so sensible and it's so smart that you guys have gone into this in a partnership, and it sounds like you've found a really amazing way to complement each other and make sure that you're able to focus on your strengths.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I mean, absolutely. Like, I've never been opposed to mentorship or outsourcing, but I do believe that by sort of giving ourselves the permission to learn from the ground up, it really does empower you within your own business, because no one outside of you and your business can tell you better how to run it, how to do it. Absolutely, they can share valuable knowledge and lived experience, but only you are dealing with the day-to-day challenges that arise in your immediate space, you and your team. It's pivotal that you have the resilience and tools to be able to overcome that on your own, and also be able to not necessarily rely on outside perspective, but be able to like critically think and sort of to a certain degree foresee the trajectory of where things are going, of what you might need to prepare for. We know plans don't always go to plan, that's life. But when you are sort of aware and know the intricacies of your business, you've got a better chance of managing and, I guess, preventing where you need to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a very, you've got me thinking about mentorship in a very different kind of way that is kind of, I suppose, it's very loud online. It's very loud saying you need to buy a mentor, and that's how you build your business, and that's how you're going to get to seven figures and make money in your sleep and all that sort of essentially rubbish sometimes. And it's so loud. It's really about bringing it grassroots and saying, no, you have the capacity, you have the power, and if you really can hone that in and you can focus on that and focus on that self-empowerment, that's where you're going to be able to see changes.
And don't get me wrong, as I was once a student and also once in a position where I felt really pressured and thought, I need to get a mentor, I need to get a mentor. So I didn't just wake up and end up in this position where I'm like, yes, I just wanted to learn from the ground up, because I was also conditioned and convinced that I need a mentor. I'm not going to do well without one. This is going to help me get, learn quicker, do better. And like Adam said, not just that encouragement of saying, hey, Sadia, like you actually got this. Like you know better than anyone what it is you want to do. And, you have that within yourself. And just also by having that support and encouragement, I sort of kept leaning into that a lot, like more and more. 100%.
Yeah, that's priceless.
Yeah, I think it's always good if you can align yourself with a network of friends, seniors, peers, whatever. Use them as your mentors. Ask questions. You don't need to pay somebody to learn this stuff. And the benefit of learning it yourself is you're then acquiring skills to be able to overcome other challenges that are inevitably going to pop up in the future, rather than just deferring to your mentor every time there's a problem. What do I do here? What do I do here? You
Yeah.
know, figure it out yourself, learn it, and you're just going to grow in the end. You know, mentorship is expensive. Like, let's be real. And like,
Yeah, it can be a real barrier, hey.
100%.
100%.
Yeah.
On that topic of talking about upcoming challenges that'll pop up in your business, I would like to be a bit of a sticky beak. Can you give me some examples of maybe where some challenges have popped up and you've had to overcome them?
You know, I think, I guess, like any business, it's tough, like getting the ball rolling, getting traction going. I mean, we definitely didn't really have very high expectations of the business. Like, we didn't really want it. We didn't have a goal of growing it to X amount or whatever. We just started it and just kind of rolled with it. So we feel like everything just happened organically, and it's continuing to grow organically. So the biggest issue is probably the cash flow thing. Like, this business is very volumes based. You know, the margins are small. You know, a lot of the money that the business generates has to go back into the business to rebuy stock and expand. So managing that financial side of things is tricky. You know, and of course, when you want to introduce new services like compounding, then you've got to invest heavily in more product and more supplements, and you've got to have enough to make sure that you don't run out, you know, and then you sell a few, and then you've got to buy more. So it's just a constant, I guess, trying to chase the tail, trying to reinvest any income that comes in into buying new products and expanding and building it out. So that's probably been the biggest challenge.
But in saying that, yes, it's true. The nature of this business does mean you have to reinvest a lot of your money until you get to a certain point. And fortunately, we have seen, as Adam said, we didn't have expectation, but we're sort of 10 months in and things have exceeded what I personally thought things may look like at this point now. And because of that really beautiful organic growth, we've been able to expand the services. Like Adam said, now we've introduced the creams, compounds, supplements. So now we can open them the service to a whole new market, being nutritionists now. The biggest thing, I wouldn't say it's a challenge, but I guess the biggest thing that we've prioritized, right, is trying to use savings to cut costs for practitioners, because at the end of the day, the service is to support practitioners in the best way possible and their practices
Yeah.
so that their clients are getting, the most affordable prescriptions that they can. So it's got a bit of it's a domino effect. Whoever's
Yeah.
on the top sort of really sets the tone for how things funnel down.
Yeah, pricing, like, it is a competitive space, the dispensary world. I mean, there's obviously a couple of big dispensaries out there that everybody knows and everybody uses, and then we come along and we're kind of the smaller guys and nobody knows about us. So to kind of, yeah, build up the brand, but also keep our pricing competitive,
Yeah.
was probably a bit of a challenge as well. And I think we're kind of
Yes.
getting the balance right now. So obviously, as the business has grown and we've achieved more economies of scale and better discounts with our suppliers, rather than, I guess, just use all that as extra profit, we've kind of been able to reduce our pricing a bit and pass that on
Yeah.
to the consumers. And that's actually allowed us to be, I guess, really price competitive with the bigger dispensaries. And because, you know, it's just us two, we don't have the huge overheads that they have, and, you know, the rent and facilities and all that stuff. Like, you know, we can keep our costs pretty low, and again, are able to pass on a lot of those savings to the gnats and now the nuts. So, yeah.
I love that. It's so important to have these kinds of conversations too. Like, I really want to thank you for your candor and your openness and allowing us that little glimpse into that behind the scenes. It's a bit secretive, a little bit, people don't want to let that out, and I totally understand why, but no, I need to thank you for that, and it's getting the wheels turning, and I'm sure all of the gnats and the nuts that are listening as well have got their wheels turning, and it's good to hear about the human challenges behind it as well, like trying to stay competitive, trying to figure out what works with your morals and ethics as well, in terms of like where do we invest the money, how do we make this work. That's a huge juggle that I'm only just getting a glimpse into, and that, it wasn't even on my radar as a student. So really, really interesting.
Absolutely. We really wanted to be authentic about that it's just not sunshines and daisies, and you don't just buy a whole heap of stock and start selling it and filling prescriptions. There's so much more involved, and you got to be patient, and you got to You got to keep just chipping away at it every single day, remembering, I guess, coming back to that why you're doing it. If there is anyone out there sort of interested, they just have to be prepared to know that you do have to reinvest a lot of your money, a lot of what you make back into your business in order for it to run. That's something that took me a while to come to an acceptance with personally, because Adam had quite extensive business experience and, has always been very, very economically minded. Whereas this was somewhat a whole new world to me that I had to really start to understand and sort of figure out. And a lot of my own beliefs were challenged significantly the entire time. And I finally got to this place, not that long ago, to be completely honest, where I had to accept that a lot of the money you make needs to go back into this business. You need to trust that it's growing and it will grow because you've seen growth. But in order for that to happen, you've got to keep investing. And it might sound like, in theory, people might be like, well, that just makes sense. That's just common sense. But when you're actually in it and you make many sacrifices for the hope of your business taking off and growing, that's actually a really huge, almost internal challenge you come up against as well.
There's a lot of emotional attachment to money too. Like that's difficult. I mean, I don't know the full ins and outs. We don't have to go into it about maybe paying yourself a lower wage or things like that. But yeah, a lot of sacrifice and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to go into it. So.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, even like up until recently, like every time I place a restock, Sadie's like, "Oh, restock again. We just did one last
We
week."
just did one last week. He's like, but we need it again.
It's never ending. The more you sell, the more you got to buy, so it's that constant reinvestment into the business. And we don't take money out of the business. So it's like
Very seldom.
it's very, very tough, it's she relies on her consulting side, to kind of generate the income, her personal income. But the business itself, it's everything gets reinvested into the dispensary and growing it out and more products and things like that.
Wow. Are you guys working in the dispensary in a full traditional full-time capacity as well? Is it at that stage yet?
So we are working in it full time. Adam's still occasionally does his SMP tattooing. He has another business. So he occasionally does that on a bookings basis, but we are both very much full time invested into the dispensary business. And I will consult. I avail certain times and days of the week to still take on new clients and see my old clients, just to still have that balance. I do enjoy consulting, but I'm not sort of trying to book myself in flat strap 9 to 5 back to back consults because for me personally, being an empath, trying to do that from the start, I actually found myself feeling quite drained. It's taxing, and I think it's not something that people talk to you about in uni and clinic, that hey, when you get out into the real world and you start consulting people every single day, you're gonna feel a bit exhausted. In theory, it makes sense, but when you're physically going through it every day, you're just like, whoa, like I am feeling tired. I'm drained. And that also contributed to burnout that I was already going through. And I was like, look, it's a disservice to yourself and your client or the person you're trying to help on the other end if you don't really have the capacity to. So having that awareness brought me now to this sort of point where I schedule in the consults that I have the capacity for, the time I have capacity for, and the rest is obviously, we're hand in hand, full time in the dispensary.
But that's like when we say full time, it's not strictly a 9 to 5. Obviously, when you run your own business, you got to
Flexible.
be flexible. So we don't like clock in at 9 and clock off at 5. It's full time in the sense that most of our energy and time goes into the business. And but we work whenever, so if we're up early, might start dispensing and doing inventory and stuff like that. We might do the post runs in the morning, and then take a bit of time off for lunch and then come back to it, and sometimes dispensing right through to like 9, 10 o'clock at night sometimes, or weekends even. So there's you never really switch off when you're running your own business. And that's probably coming back to our previous question, one of the other big challenges is having that balance between your work, your life. And being in a relationship as well, I guess our relationship itself, sometimes actually this is a good point. Probably one of the other biggest challenges that we have faced being in a relationship, but also living together, being in business together, it's very tough to kind of draw that line and know when to switch off, especially in the early days. Like we spent so much time and energy just talking about business. Like we would find us going on date night and even talking about business or
Talking about curbs on your date night.
the
I was sick of it.
But yeah, so that's been a challenge for us in our personal lives. And I feel like now, because we have, what are we, like 10 months, 12 months in, down the line, we have developed a bit more of a routine, I guess. And the business is a bit in a more of a maintenance phase now, you could say. So we have found a bit of a groove that kind of works for us. And, you know, it's something that we're still trying to improve on and work on and have boundaries with and know when to prioritize us and our relationship and, you know, turn off the phones and, you know, really just have that boundary between business and relationship and personal lives.
Yeah, that sounds like a tough one, hey? You gotta have a lot of restraint and have the ability as well to be able to look at it and go and see it for what it is and have that awareness to be able to say we need to improve on this. We need to, make sure we are having boundaries at home.
When you asked before, how did the business come about? As much as it organically grew, and like I said, there really is no straight answer to that, a lot of the reason that I felt it was necessary was because there isn't a lot of herbal dispensary services, one in Queensland, two here on the Gold Coast or in Southeast Queensland. And but I think it is so important to be able to have that accessibility when patients need acute care, when they need to access herbal medicine or treatment efficiently and quickly. This is what really sort of also drove me to enabling the local pickup service. Yes, it meant that you have to juggle your schedule a bit to allow for that, but it also means that there's so many, wonderful practitioners locally within the area that know they can come and organize same day pickup for their clients if they need to or themselves. And I just think that if we're able to go to the GP and just drive to the pharmacy and get a script that same day, then we should be able to do the same thing for herbal medicine. We should be able to access it, not have to wait maybe 3 days for it to get dispensed somewhere, another 3 days for the post. So then before you know it, a client's got their medicine a week later.
Yeah, that's a whole week of treatment missed out on.
Correct. And not to say, Express Post is fantastic. We've got that option today, and a lot of services can get herbal medicine and prescriptions delivered quite efficiently. But that was a sort of a big gap in the market I saw was that there's just not a lot of us. You can't just drive down the street to a herbal dispensary. Yes, we have health food store dispensaries, but in terms of being like that practitioner only dispensary, and having that local option, I think that was a really big motivating factor. And I wanted to add that because when I said earlier that a lot of what we do is for the greater good of supporting practitioners and their practices, that's the essence of the business as well, really.
100%. You can see that you've got that care too. Like something that really blew me away, it's the little things that you guys have paid attention to as well. Like the fact that you offer, we can send in our own labels and you guys can put, the practitioner labels on the packaging. Those little things, they make such a big difference. And I love the concept of being able to buy from real people. Some of those bigger dispensaries that you're talking about as well, they don't. It's not as much of a relationship between the practitioner and the dispensary, and you guys are really trying to foster that, and it's evident. It's beautiful, really beautiful, and the essence of what naturopathy is as well. Like it's about community. It's grassroots. It's having relationships and building relationships because wellness is so multifaceted, and it's the emotional health, it's the physical health, it's all of it. I love it. I think you guys are doing such a fantastic thing, and people need to know more about you. So,
We very much, I guess, dictate our operations according to where we feel there's a need. So creams is something that we introduced because we heard a lot of people wanted access to creams. You know, same with compounding, you know, and the BYO label service. You know, we had people asking if they can use their labels, and we're like, well, shit, that's a great idea. Let's do it. Like, you know, so the business grows and continues to grow very organically in line with what you guys want, what, you know, what the community wants. You know, we try and really showcase, you know, as much of the community involvement as we can. And yeah, we're big on creating community, creating, you know, involvement. We have one-to-one relationships with a number of our nats where, you know, we personalize things to them, or bounce ideas off each other and help us out. Like the compounding idea actually came from one of the Nats, really kind of pushing us and motivating us, and it's something that we wanted to do for a while, but gave us that extra motivation, I think, to get it out there.
Yeah, great. I love it. It's going back as well to your mentorship. It doesn't have to be paid. It can be from your customers. Like, fantastic.
And they're the ones you're serving at the end of the day. So their feedback and what they their perspectives and insights, they that needs to be taken seriously. That's the community that we're serving at the end of the day. We're not trying, like you said earlier, the BYO service, for example. That's so that practitioner really can personalize that service and their prescription to their client. And it's not about us, it's not about us trying to put our own branding out there. It's really about the focus is on the practitioner,
Yeah.
supporting them and their practice.
This might be a little bit juicy, but do you have any advice for people that are working in a partnership and they might have differing opinions or conflict?
I think the biggest thing for us that we realized quite quickly is being different people. We also operate and work and think and do differently. And when you're in a business, in order to really sort of streamline the way you do things and to be efficient, you sort of need to be on the same page and doing things the same. You
Yeah.
can't, it's like if you just had five people here in a team, you can't have two people doing things their way and three others doing it their way. It's not going to work. So I think that the biggest thing we came up against early on was I like to do something one way. Oh, and Adam suddenly likes to do something another way. So now we've got two of us wanting to sort of do things our own way. And I think as you get older, I mean, to a certain degree, yes, that if you have that awareness and openness, you're like, yes, I'll be flexible. I can adjust. But also to a certain extent, when it's something that you're very, very stuck in your way with, or you think you know best, it's hard to adjust to now suddenly someone else's way of doing. Or if someone else says, I think this could be a better way, it's like, oh, I don't think so. So this is something that we navigated very early on, and that is a particular theme that we continued to have to work through. Was that we have to be on the same page. We have to learn, yes, we can collaborate so well in many respects, but when it came to the way we deliver business and do things, we had to be on the same page. In order to, I guess, overcome the conflict that came with those situations, it really was about, and unfortunately, it is, I guess, second nature to us to nip things in the bud and communicate through healthy conversation. So we didn't necessarily have to learn that we have to communicate, but now we had to learn that, okay, communication, as soon as we need to nip something in the bud, no judgment, come from a place of curiosity and compassion, hear what the other person has to say, I'll hear, and vice versa. And then how are you both going to sort of support where each other's coming from and further integrate that into the reality of the business now and of your lives? And so I guess in terms of conflict resolution, it's just about creating that safe space for each other to have open discussion and conversation about, hey, I'm struggling, I've got an issue with this. Hey, what can we do to make this better? Because we've got the same goal at the end. And so we need to be able to collaborate and conflict resolution is obviously a huge part of that. So yeah, I guess discussion, open communication, honest discussion. And sometimes you have to sound a bit like a broken record and have the same conversations over and over until the penny really drops. And even when it does drop, it's like, okay, now we have to integrate and we have to do our very best to do that. Taking that consciousness from our actual personal partnership into the business partnership too.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just having real open communication, being honest with each other all the time, not letting things fester, having that clear division of responsibility, but still allowing each other to, to talk about things. And that's not to say that Sari doesn't, offer suggestions or improvements. She has a lot of value, from a user point of view, for example, of what works, because when I'm stuck in the zone and building out the systems and the calculators or whatever, I don't know what I don't know. Like I might think it works well, but then when I get a non-technical person to use it, she might offer other insights. So it's recognizing that yin and the yang, working to each other's strengths and just kind of really
Working
being
to each
open with
other's
things.
strengths, yeah. Yeah, constantly workshopping, not being afraid to workshop, and the respect for each other. That's
Not taking
Yeah,
things for
my big takeaways from it. Beautiful. You guys are really honest and I love that. And I would like to know, was there anything that you would have done differently in reflection in the startup of this business and the ongoing sort of stuff. Is there anything that you feel like you would have done differently, or you may have regretted, or I suppose it's all a learning process anyways, though.
Personally, I don't know if I would use the word regret, and it's something that I don't like to use in general in my life because I believe that every time you did something, you acted at the frequency and consciousness of which you had the capacity to act and all you knew in that time. So in terms of looking back to say, I would have done this better, I would have done that better, personally, no, because I made the decisions based on the capacity of knowledge and awareness that I had at that time. And anything that potentially detoured from what I expected or hoped for anyway is where it was meant to go anyway. So that's, and that's a very big sort of principle in how I live in my life in general. So you can only sort of reflect and look at things retrospectively when you're looking at it from a place of how can I actually improve? Reflecting on what potentially didn't work and how can I just do this better? And it's all about evolving and expanding. And as you evolve as a person, so does everything outside of you, in this case, the business. So, yeah, I think in this specific instance of the dispensary business, I can't say there's something that I regretted, and that I might have done differently, but I certainly now am a lot more open to, I guess, just adaptable and open to learning or to making systems more efficient or whatever that is. That's where I continue to lean into because that's for the greater good of the business, the service, but myself. So I hope that sort of, I know that was a different way of answering that, but I hope it makes sense.
No, it does. I suppose that's why I hesitated for saying like what do you regret? Because there's no regrets. It's just it is what it is. I suppose I should have more said, are there any shortcuts that you want to share with aspiring natural health students and future business owners that you had to learn the hard way?
Gotcha. So when I was a naturopathy student in my final year of clinic to now, in that first sort of year going into business, what would I have done differently? Again, I only did what I had the sort of capacity and awareness of at the time, but I just wouldn't be so hard on myself. And this is something I keep learning every single day, is that I wouldn't keep pushing. I would just really allow more flow into where life is taking me with my career and business. And I think after uni, there is, it's just like when you finish high school, right? And everyone's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you're like, I'm still at home with my mum and dad. I'm still at school, and you're asking me this really big life question. And I think it's the same when you finish uni. Everyone's like, so what are you going to do now? You're going to open your own practice? Are you going to like, do all these things? And you're just like, oh my God, like, I don't know. And there's a lot of pressure, a lot of it self-imposed, obviously, and some external pressure as well. So I think that the biggest thing I would have done is to really honor and follow it is what that you want and follow your intuition, follow your heart. And if it looks so different, drastically different to anything you've seen out there, then that's a good thing. And to not be deterred and fearful of the fact that perhaps you want to take a less conventional route, because oftentimes that's where a lot of magic happens. And so had I, yeah, if I was to do anything differently, it would be to take that pressure off, to lean into the different things with a lot more confidence. But that's something you also learn as you evolve, and you it's easy to look in hindsight too.
Yeah, surrender. Just be
Surrender.
open. Go with the flow. That's the best way. Sometimes it's better to not have a plan because you don't know where things will go, what opportunities will arise. And if you have a plan, you just try and stick to it and always try and just stay on course. You're really limiting yourself.
Yes.
Everybody
Limitation.
finishes their degree and wants to go into practice and consult and offer, one-on-one consulting packages or whatever, standalone consults, and that's it. Like open yourself up to other opportunities, think outside the box. Network with people because you might get inspiration or other ideas elsewhere, and that will lead to other opportunities. And like we were talking about, this dispensary grew organically. That's very much what we're talking about. We didn't have this idea of creating a dispensary. We'll just open to it and let it happen. And this is where we are 10 months later, So very much just, surrender, be open to the universe, be open to everything, and opportunities will come and take advantage.
And don't forget that as an with this degree, it is so diverse and versatile. There is so much you can do with it. Don't feel like, restricted and constrained, because There's so much innovation that can come from this. The world needs holistic health. The world needs more, natural medicine. The world needs more practitioners like us. And so if you can just, really honor, when you finish this degree, you've got so much skill, even along the way, knowledge and skill set to share with the world. Don't constrain yourself to simply just, being a clinician or,
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. It's a very exciting time for the natural health medicine like realm as well too, because we've noticed such a giant uptake in students, in people being interested in it. In I'm sure you guys have seen it within your business and the time that you've spent looking at the natural health space. It's growing. It's a very exciting time to be a practitioner and be in the space.
Yeah, absolutely. I think collectively we are definitely evolving and becoming more open to the old ways of doing and being. And that's really, really refreshing to see more people embracing natural medicine, holistic health. Yes, there is a side as well, like we can't shy away or deny the fact that there's also a part of wellness and health that has unfortunately become very, very over commercialized now in the industry as well. And it's a very, it can, it very much is a moral and ethical dilemma. I think that's, that's another sort of story. But I think that in terms of being more embracing and open, opening up to integrative health and complementary healthcare, I think we are, we've got a long way to go, but we're getting, like, we're opening up. And that's the main thing.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Because of those sort of commercial picture of what health looks like, have you guys experienced any like have you guys had to deal with like common misconceptions and stuff about the wellness industry within your as it's presented to your business?
Yeah, I mean, because we have the word dispensary in our name, we get a lot of random calls from members of the public asking for weed. Funnily enough, they think we're a weed dispensary. So, yeah.
So good.
I'm going to tell them, sorry, mate. No, but I can give you some nettle leaf or something. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess there's that misconception in the public. But I guess from a NAT point of view, I guess because I guess we are seen as a bit of a smaller or boutique dispensary, again, people probably think that we maybe aren't as good as the bigger dispensaries or can't be as competitive in terms of price or offerings or services. But I would counter that our size and our boutiqueness is actually our biggest strength, and that's why we can offer personalization and actually our costs are a lot less than what, people might expect and, discounted postage and things like this. So being small has its benefits, and I think we really kind of just lean into that. That we don't see it as a disadvantage at all.
Yeah, I love that. Love, love, love that. How do you guys see the relationship as well between like your products versus like quote unquote conventional pharmaceuticals in Australia?
Look, I think we both got can share different and valuable insights on this. For me personally, coming from a lived experience as a patient and also a practitioner, there are a lot of wonderful integrative GPs out there that I've had the opportunity to collaborate with for patient care. And honestly, there and those integrated GPs absolutely embrace holistic health, and they want to be able to, like I said, have that collaborative care. Because it's oftentimes means it increases the therapeutic benefit and outcomes for the patient. The other side to that is I also know what it's like to work with people in the conventional healthcare system that aren't as open and embracing, that don't want to be as collaborative. And that's something that you have to be prepared for. As a student, you may have already started to experience that. If you're a nat student, you go to a naturopath, and then they say, hey, can you go to your GP to get some stuff or bloods? And then your GP is a bit reluctant. You might already have experienced that sort of, I guess, dynamic, and it happens in the real world. And as a practitioner, you become very much exposed to the reality of that, and you have to navigate that with your clients the best way possible. Because I guess you just have to have this awareness and understanding that this exists within the two healthcare systems. It's the reality, but it doesn't mean there's not fantastic GPs out there that are so willing to collaborate and help out. In my own clinical practice with my own clients, I've seen how, yes, prescription pharmaceutical drugs we do need them, and I never dictate. It's not our job, nor do we have a right to say to a client, "Hey, stop your meds that your GP prescribed you." That's outside of our scope of practice and negligent on our part. But I absolutely encourage herbal medicine support wherever possible, because that's you doing your part to support your client holistically and naturally. And so, yes, I've seen clients that still thrive and experience wonderful therapeutic benefits from being on treatment and herbal medicine, even if it means that, yes, simultaneously, they still need to be taking prescription medication.
Beautifully said. I suppose I really wanted to highlight that because there is that division that is happening, whether we like it or not. There is this stigma where it's like you've got to be either team natural or team pharmaceutical, and just trying to highlight the fact that yeah, both can have a beautiful
Work
fusion
together.
and complement each other. I'm gonna do a little fun one. What are your favorite herbs? Each of you go for it.
I'm going to say turmeric.
Oh, yuck.
That was the very first herb I ever took,
Was
and
too.
far out, I was surprised.
Filthy. You got pretty much shot at the first try.
I think there's a video of me on Instagram taking the very first shot. It was a lot, but look, I've been taking it for my joint inflammation and a bit of psoriasis, and yeah, maybe I'm a sucker for punishment as well, so.
I love it.
I'll never
It'll
forget.
fix you up.
You can only make like bring you can only pre-warn someone so much when it comes to the taste of herbs, right? And I think I thought I did my best with Adam, but the day he shot turmeric for the first time, I've never seen someone's soul leave their body. He was like just absolutely shocked. It's like he just didn't like he was like really like this is what it tastes like. And we've got a video of it. Yeah, I'll
Yeah,
never
I wasn't
forget that.
expecting that.
But now he like raw dogs turmeric like a pro.
Yeah, it's your favorite. You literally said it's your favorite now, so that's awesome.
Oh yeah, it wakes you up. It's good for you.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
What about you?
Oh, look, I've got so many favorites, but I think I'm going to hone in here on the way that I practice, bring it back to how I practice as a clinician. And because 99.9% of the clients that come to me are experiencing extreme stress. And dysregulated nervous systems. That is my biggest first point of support when it comes to treatment. Herbs like withania and holy basil are just some of my most favorite adaptogenic herbs. And for my clients, if I was to just get them on one herb, it's literally withania to start settling everything, to start feeling some regulation, to start coming down off the high and finding some mellow and safety so that we can start to address all the other things going on with them. That is just how I personally that's how I intuitively and personally practice. So withania is like a little golden nugget to me. Like it just does you can just put it in literally anything and everything and a client will reap the therapeutic benefits of it every single time. For me anyway, I speak from my own experience. And as a patient myself, like in all the times I've ever taken withania, it's like this little like hug to my nervous system and you feel it. So I have to go with withania.
It is one of the most
Beautiful.
popular herbs
It
I've
is
noticed in the
actually.
dispensary as well.
We restocked that quite a
Yeah,
bit.
it's probably one of the most. Schisandra is the other big one that a lot of gnats like to use. Peonia, lemon balm, yeah, all that stuff.
All those beautiful adaptogens and anxiolytics because, life. So everyone's on the
Everyone's stressed these
adaptogens.
days, man. It's tough.
Well, literally, we opened this conversation saying, like, the past was really stressful and things had to change, and it's all so on brand for you guys. I love it. I love it. Before I get into the end, for those who are interested in you guys, and now that we know a little bit more about you and they might want to access you, could you please tell me a little bit about who can access you, what the sort of process is, and if there's anything specifically that you would love to share in terms of, yeah, getting the student gnats and the student nuts to come and see you. And of course, like always, I will make sure that we link socials down in the description so people can find you straight away.
Yeah, so we are obviously, well, we do cater to fully qualified gnats and nuts, as well as final year students in clinical placement. So you can use our services to prescribe for yourself if you're in final year. So just register on our website, upload some evidence of your clinical placement or enrollment, and we will approve it. And then that's it. You got access to our systems and you can put together your own formulations, get to know the herbs a little bit before you start prescribing for other people. There's a lot of nuances that you can only learn through trial and error and actually feeling and tasting and smelling. So, even within the Bithania, the different manufacturers all make different kind of Bithania. So get to know which one. They all taste different. They all have different, I guess, effects on people. So experiment, learn, sign up, and yeah.
Do you guys offer any herbal education when people register with you guys to use the dispensary?
So all the herbs on our Liquid Herbal page do come with a pretty comprehensive description. So you can learn all about the herbs and what they do, the actions, the indications, the energetics behind them all, where they come from, the historical and traditional use. And all that is searchable. So if you wanted to just find out what cooling herbs, for example, that we have available, just type in the word cooling and you'll get a list of the cooling herbs. So it's actually a really cool and funky way to learn more about herbs
Before you prescribe.
before you prescribe. It's actually a really cool feature that we implemented. So again, you can just search for, say you're treating a patient with SIBO or diabetes, just type in that keyword and you can see what there is. And this way you can expose yourself to different herbs that you might not have even heard about. Because we do stock, I think it's about over 180 different herbs, including a lot of random ones and lesser known ones, very obscure ones. Yeah, so we've got the four brands at the moment. We just introduced a new one, which I'll talk about at the end, but we've got MediHerb, obviously, Optimal RX, including their GlycoTract range, which are alcohol-free, great for people who can't take alcohol for religious reasons or because they're pregnant or lactating. Then we got the herbal extracts as well. And then we're just about to launch a few of the PPC traditional fresh plant extracts. So these are fresh plants that are harvested within just a few hours and turned into a tincture. So you get a lot of the energetic benefits from the fresh plants in these herbal tinctures.
We're very excited about the PPC range, actually. So we're about to roll that out today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll be
Oh,
out.
congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you both. Thank you so much for giving the podcast your time and energy. I'm so excited to see where you guys go in the future. And I want to know, what is next for you guys? I mean, we just had that conversation about, there's so much stress on what's happening next, but this is your free chance to plug. Go for it.
Thanks so much for having us. Honestly, this is, like I said, our first time, and we're looking forward to, I guess, leaning into more networking opportunities moving forward. So this has been a really nice icebreaker for us as well. And in terms of moving forward, I guess, we've had discussions where we consider the growth and expansion of the business and what that means that we'll have to then start implementing in order to support that growth. So, ideally, I would really love to be able to provide work opportunities for NAPS students in the near future. And that may potentially look like being able to do dispensing part-time and casually for Inner Bloom Dispensary, packing and dispensing. I know, like I said earlier on, I know what it's like to try and sort of, I guess, have opportunities to work in that space as a student, and they're very few and far between. So it would just really mean a lot to be able to provide that opportunity to others, to NAT students especially, and even qualified NATs that are looking for some part-time work. They just want to dispense, sort of. Maybe they don't want to be one-on-one practicing, and they just want to be a bit more behind the scenes, connecting with the herbs and compounds and stuff. So potentially, that's something on our radar that we've been in discussions about.
Yeah, not at the moment, but like hopefully soon we're working towards that. Obviously, we just launched a new compounding services and the creams that has been on our to-do list for a while. So we finally got that out the way. I think for us, from a business point of view, the next step would be just to continue to build our brand, get our name out there. We want to start, I guess, working with more multi-modality clinics, who are wanting to outsource, all their dispensing needs, and we can utilize their branding. I mean, so far, I guess most of our growth has been to, I guess, the sole practitioners, the newer grads, that type of target market. But I think, yeah, for the next 6 months or so, I really want to, or we really want to kind of lean more into those old school Nats as well, who potentially don't know about us on Instagram, but or might not even have Instagram, for example, but are definitely in need of some herbal support
Sourcing,
or supplement support or whatever. So just continuing to diversify in terms of our product range, our market, and then hopefully, say within 6 months, we might be in a position, yeah, where we can open up the doors and take somebody on board.
I just want to say it one more time. Thank you so much for your time and energy today. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you guys.
No worries.
Thanks
Thanks,
so
Dee.
much. Thanks, Dee.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate it if you've made it this far. If you like the interview and you like what I do, please rate and follow the podcast on your chosen listening provider, as it not only notifies you of new episodes, but it also helps with my visibility on the platforms. If you're interested in being featured on the podcast, I've streamlined the process by creating a contact form on my website where you can say hi and let me know that you're interested. All of my social media accounts are linked there as well on my website. As always, I'll link everything in the description that was spoken about on today's episode. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.